All guests come to you via the Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Join now for a few minutes the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Eric Hasseltine. Eric, how are you, buddy?
What's up, my friend? I'm great. How are you? About time to get back to work.
You are great. Yeah. You know, I don't think many people, or maybe even anyone, thought that the Grizzlies at the All-Star break would be 28-26. But here they are, solidly in the eighth spot in the West. I would assume you are one of those that are surprised.
Yeah, I had the brilliant insight to say 27 wins would be a good step in the right direction for the whole season at Summer League. So, yeah, I was right on that one. Those are the kind of predictions that get you fired usually. So, yeah.
But what's been the biggest? Has it been Morant? Has it been a combination of things? I mean, talk to the Kings fans about what really has gotten this team to 28-26 this year.
Well, obviously, Jaws a huge factor, but Jaren Jackson Jr. Coming back healthy after missing the last 30-plus games of last year. Dylan Brooks coming back healthy after a toe injury sidelined him after 11 games. Jonas Valanciunas sticking around and re-signing. The addition of Brandon Clark as well. It's been a collective effort, and that's kind of been the theme all year long. They're the top team in the league in assists, or if not in first, still they're in second. They move the ball. You know, the game here in Sacramento on January 2nd, they moved the ball really well for about the first 20 minutes and then stopped moving the ball and got a little complacent. And that was one of the things that was hurting them early in the year. And it hadn't hurt as much as of late. That game kind of sticks in their memories a little bit because they felt like they let one get away. You have to credit Sacramento for the way they played in the second half. As you know, they were terrific. And I think the fact, and I've said this multiple times, they played 20 games their first 20 games, 16 of which were against top five, I think, playoff teams in both conferences. So they learned the level of intensity it was going to take to win at the NBA level, even though they're a very young team. They blew a lot of leads in that stretch. They had nights where they were blown out. Ja Morant got dinged up in Utah. When he came back, they were 6-16. They're 22-10 since. When the ball moves, this team is really hard to beat. They play as a unit. They play without an ego, with a sense of camaraderie that a new team just generally doesn't always have. They remind me a lot of that 99 team that had that 50-win, you know, the 50-game season where they came out of the gates and no one expected them to be that good. You knew Weber would be good. You knew Vlade would be good. We didn't know exactly how good Jason Williams would be, but he's getting everybody involved, and Peja's coming of age. And so they remind me of that team because they were so unselfish. And when the ball moved, they were so hard to stop. And that's a lot like this group right here. Nobody expected 28-26. And I think that early tough schedule, which is going to be followed by a post All-Star break tough schedule, by the way, really prepared them to make a run like they did. And now they're just playing with a confidence. It's not an arrogance. They haven't crossed the line to arrogance. They still know they're vulnerable in certain spots, and they've got to be better in certain areas, and I think they're ready to attack those weaknesses in practice and try to take another step forward.
You know, a lot of people, and I joked with Grant earlier about the coach, Taylor Jenkins, and a lot of people may not know him, but when you talk about ball movement, you talk about culture and a lot of different things, just kind of speak to how he's gotten everyone and maybe his strengths about the ability to get everyone to buy in on what he's obviously selling and they have bought in.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Doug, is that – you played against Mike Miller, and Mike Miller was a great shooter. We've all know that. And he has a restaurant in Memphis called Let It Fly. And the first day of training camp, Taylor Jenkins is screaming like Let It Fly. And my first thought was, why is he doing ads for Mike Miller's restaurant to his team? But that's right. His motto about shooting the basketball. And he wants you to make an extra pass unselfishly from a good shot to a great shot. Very San Antonio Spurs-like, the system he cut his teeth in. Then went with Mike Budenholzer, and he's a big proponent of that ball movement, pace and space, and moving it up and down the floor. When guys have fun playing basketball, you remember this, Doug, it's a lot more fun to be out on the court when you're not trying to hold the ball for 20 seconds and grind it and just slam it down into the post. And those days are gone. So he's basically taken this young group of athletes and turned them loose, and they're loving every second of it. He doesn't get up in guys' faces, but he holds players accountable. And someone said this to me the other day, and I think it really rings true, and you guys have known this from being around the league as long as both of you have. when your players start to sound like you as the coach, your message has gotten through. You hear some of these guys in the interviews post-game now, they sound like Taylor Jenkins. They talk about ball movement. They talk about helping their brothers. They talk about picking guys up. And it's all the things he's been saying all year long. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, in less than 4 months, this guy has this locker room believing in everything he says. And at under the age of 40, you know, I don't want to give away his whole real age, but, you know, he's under 40 years of age. To get a locker room to believe that quickly, it's impressive. He's been a lot of fun to be around.
You talked about the post schedule, you know, the post All-Star break schedule. Doug and I were going over Memphis's schedule. You know what? If this team ends up, you know, 500 or better and in the playoffs, they will well have earned it. I mean, you guys got a tough schedule coming up.
Yeah, you know, the Lakers, they're not that good. The Clippers aren't that good. It's brutal. And these first six games are a big, big test to round out the month of February. We know, you know, around the team, not the players. I say we, like the guys that sure. do what we all do. That tonight's not even close to one of those games you look at and go, oh, well, this should be a win. Not even close. So many strange things have happened here. The Grizzlies generally don't win in Sacramento. It's always a tough building to play in. You know the Kings are going to come out with the focus of, hey, if we get this one and we get them in Memphis, we can play ourselves back into it. But it's got to start tonight. So you know you're coming in with an intensity coming at you. You better be ready for it. You're going to get rolled. Then a second night of a back-to-back to a Laker team that doesn't play tomorrow night. Monday is going to be an emotional day in L.A. because of the memorial before our game with the Clippers and all throughout the day. Then you got to finish that road trip in Houston with a new, smaller, faster lineup, and it's your first look at that. They played well against that team. But I said, and I believe this, I think if they come out of this six-game stretch with two or three wins and then get into March where they play Atlanta a couple of times early and kind of play a little bit above 500 for that first week of March, maybe first 10 days, they got a real shot. Because what's happening is if the gap stays at four or five games or even three or four games with the teams chasing you and you start getting towards that 20-game mark where there's only 20 left, that's a big gap, even though it doesn't sound like a big number to come up with. Because you just do the math. Right now it's four. If the Blazers were to catch the Grizzlies and they had 28 games left, they go 18-10, you're going 14-14, they have to go 18-10. Well, they haven't done that all year. Now, could they do it? Sure, they've got talented players. Could New Orleans, who has the easiest schedule, make a run? Could you guys in Sacramento make a run with things starting to click with a different starting five and now some pieces that are starting to gel? Yeah, absolutely. I watch you guys all the time. And there's times where I'm just like, wow, they are so close to just kind of busting through. This is no gimme, and I agree with you. If they make it, there's not one person out there that can go, oh, they just kind of lucked in. They're a 500 team, and the West is down. Right. They earned it.
Yep.
His rookie year, Keith Smart asked me to talk to Dylan Brooks right here in Sacramento, and Keith was like, I'm telling you, this kid can be a player. And watching him, obviously, earn the contract, watching him, what does he mean to your bunch? Because I like what I see out of the kid.
Well, I think the number is now 17-1 when he scores 20 or more points. So when he's scoring, that means the offense is clicking. But he'll play really hard nose defense throughout the game. And I don't mean this disrespectfully to Dylan. I've said this, and I think the coaches would agree with him. If you see him take more than six or seven dribbles trying to score, that's not his forte. His forte is getting to a spot, moving well without the ball, spotting up in rhythm and hitting threes and getting to the bucket. He can get to the rim. If it's have to create your own shot, drive it in through two or three guys, that's not his best basketball. He's starting to realize that. He's starting to move towards more of the, okay, this is what my role is, and understanding that. He's got the contract now. They got that out of the way. I think it's incredibly affordable for a guy averaging 16 points a game and really showing what a focal point he can be of your offense. To get him at, you know, less than $12 million a year, it sounds crazy because that's just such a big number to average people. But in today's market in the NBA, that's great. So he's huge. He has said from day one he wants to be the third guy in a big three situation, like where you have three guys you can count on, and he believes that's Ja, Jaren, and him. He also understands Brandon Clark and Jonas have huge factors in this. He's a good teammate. He's a different cat, though. Like before the game, I feel like I can talk to Dylan Brooks about any time, but at 5 o'clock on a game day, there's no speaking to Dylan Brooks. He's locked in. He's in his mode. he's got his warm-up gear on, and he's walking with his hood up, and it's just like, okay, you just give him a nod, and then you talk to him after the game. And I like that. I like that intensity. Yep. I want guys that 2 hours before the game are locked in and ready to go. You don't have to worry about them being there when the ball's tossed in the air.
Eric, we'll see you in a couple minutes, buddy. Thanks for your time.
Guys, thanks for having me. Wish I could have done it face-to-face. See you in a few minutes.
It's all good, man. Eric Hasseltine. You know, it's interesting because what he just said is what you love.
Yeah.
You know, all right, you want to hang out, you want to be friends, do it after the game. But, you know, when it's time to go to work, go to work.
You must, man. This is an unforgiving league. It comes so fast at you. The talent is incredible. The attention to detail is an absolute must. If you think about the Kings have lost the most games by four or less
one
possession in the NBA this year.
Right.
What is that, Grant? That's attention to detail. That's an offensive rebound here. That's a charge there. That's a 50-50 ball. That's free throws that are missed. I can go on and on. Attention to detail. And if you do it, you are better for it.
Interesting when he was talking about Dylan Brooks, if you didn't know who he was talking about, you could think that he was describing Buddy Hield.
Well, and you know what's sad is he has to preface it by, this doesn't mean to be disrespectful. Know your game, man. It's okay. You want to dribble? Kawhi Leonard, when he came in the league, Grant, his first year, he just sat in the corner. Sit in the corner. If the ball comes to you, shoot it, and we're going to play a whole bunch of defense on the other end. Next year, okay, now you get to put it on the floor one time or two times and play the defense on the other end.
Yep.
And now look at him.
Yep.
Well, that's called player development. That is trusting what the coaches are putting you through, and that's also knowing your limitations until you get proficient enough at something to be able to execute it on this level, because this is a serious level right here, man.
All right, 339-1140 if you want to get in before we go to game night. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Sacramento and Memphis tonight. And Eric hit it. You know, as long as you got something to play for, you're going to play. And by that I mean, if you're the Kings, and I can say the Kings aren't going to the playoffs, but it doesn't matter what I say. The only thing that matters is what the guys in the locker room are talking and what they're thinking. But it's not going to happen if you don't beat the team in front of you. And guess what? The team that's in front of you, you're playing them here tonight, and you're playing them in Memphis on Friday. And if you have even the slimmest of hopes of making the playoffs, those have to be two wins. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
The slimmest of what? Slimmest of what, Napes?
I can't remember
what
I said.
You said hopes. Keep hope alive, Napes.
To be Jesse Jackson.
Yes, yeah, keep it alive, okay?
Well, guess what? The hope will die tonight at about 9:30 if the Kings lose.
Come on, King. Well, don't let your boy down.
Am I right or am I not right?
You're going to have me run out on the court, man. Come on. Let's go. Let's get it right. Two keys. Number one.
Yes.
Transition defense. This is a team that will run down. So when I say transition defense, protect your paint. Make sure that your paint is protected. 57 points in the NBA, number one in the league. But also they will get out and they push the basketball at a high rate. The second thing is, and I said it, realize if the three isn't falling, play the game of basketball. Don't just depend on the analytics, because a team that scores in the paint, they will go down and they will get a point or two. You know why they'll get a point? Because they're in the paint, they get fouled, they go to the free throw line, and usually at least get one. You go to the other end, and those misses all of a sudden add up. And this is a team that'll just – they're not grind city, but they grind you with the way that they come at you. And can you beat this team? Absolutely.
You already beat them once.
Yep, you can beat this team.
But you don't have – now you got Valanciunas without Rashawn Holmes on the floor. You have to go with – with Harry Giles and Nemanja Bjelica. So talk about that matchup.
Yeah, I think that you may at times, because they do score in the paint so much, I think you may see the Kings go to a zone sometimes tonight, make them shoot the outside shot and knock it down. If I do remember correctly, the one game that they did win in Memphis, correct?
No, here.
Was it here?
Yes.
Well, the one game where Dylan Brooks just went off.
Yes.
And to Eric Hasseltine's point.
17-1 when he scores 20 or more.
And he almost had 17 in the first quarter. I mean 20 in the first quarter. He was on fire. So understand who they are. Come out to compete at a high level. And don't let your offense dictate how things are going. Get after this team. Come in here with a chip on your shoulder and – you know, we on the airwaves, so we can't say too much. But, man, you better bring it. Bring it, Napes.
All right, let's get to Spencer. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hello, Spencer.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Spencer?
Hey, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I used to play in a three-on-three league. And, you know, when we would go out on our Wednesday night three-on-three league, you'd be surprised how badly every team wanted to win. And it was just, you know, there was nothing on the line other than just pride. And when you were just saying it starts in that locker room, the bottom line is that if they're competitors, they should want to win every single time they step on the court. Now, let's also add in the fact of their salaries and what they're making. You put those two together, there's no excuse for these guys to ever not want to win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and if it sounded like that, that's not what our intent was. We were just talking about if you have any hopes at all of being in the playoffs, which I don't like talking about because it's uncomfortable for me with a team that is 21-33 to talk about the playoffs. But if anyone out there is hoping that, what I said was tonight then is an absolute must win. You cannot lose when you're 21-33 to the team that's currently in the eighth spot in the West and still hope to make a run. It's not going to happen. That's the point I was making.
Yeah, and I was actually agreeing with that point. The point being is like it's like these guys got to this level because they were all competitors, and I believe that they have it in them. And they've tasted victory before. I mean, they were winning last year at a pretty good clip.
Yeah, but last year was a different team with, you know, different set of circumstances. And so I don't really go back too much to last year, Spencer. What I would say is I like the way the Kings have been playing lately, with the exception of the Dallas game, which was right before the All-Star break. But if you throw that game out, you know, the previous nine games, the Kings were 6-3. They, to me, were playing much better. They had, in their last two home games, Spencer, they beat Miami here on a Friday, San Antonio on a Saturday. It was a very spirited, energized crowd. The team responded. They played very well. I'm expecting the same thing tonight.
All right, go Kings.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I mean, I understand where you would think, you know, that you don't have to worry about guys competing and winning. And I would say for the most part, that's true. I mean, Doug, you know that better than I do. Everyone that you play with normally are competitors. But when you get down into after the All-Star break, if things start to go south, and I'm saying if, then all of a sudden, you know, you don't see sometimes that same spirit. You don't see that sometimes.
Yeah, I understand that because guys start thinking about vacation and different stuff. The Kings' problem isn't, with the exception of maybe a game or two, isn't the competition level. It's playing smart. It's, you got to use your brain while you're out here on the floor, and that's called basketball IQ. And you got to play the right way. I've brought it up so many times. They'll have 7 assists in a quarter. They'll score 34 points. They'll be rolling. The next quarter, they'll come out. They'll have 2 assists. They'll score 12 points. They got to understand as a unit that moving the basketball and sharing the basketball and then creating shots for your teammates and helping your teammates with screens and pushing the ball and sacrificing of yourself. Sometimes I would just drive in the paint to collapse the defense so I could kick it out to Page, or I could kick it to Mike or Bobby, just because I knew the defense was dumb enough to come in, and if I'm not, I'm going downhill now, and I'm going to try to finish it. Those are the things that you got to do, not just about me, because it's not whether I win the game, it's whether we win the game. And it's the number, it's the name on the front, Grant. It says Kings, it says Sacramento.
Right.
It's that's how you got to play. And when the Kings play that way, to what you just said a few minutes ago, they've been playing better basketball.
All right, and we'll see tonight, and then Saturday, a rematch. The last time the Kings played the Clippers down in L.A., they beat them. And so, you know they're going to be ready to go. It's an early start time, and that's the start of a four-game trip. But first things first, tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Let's go get it. I'm excited, man. First of all, I just love basketball. There's nothing like it. So we got a chance to come watch some of the best athletes and best players in the world on this stage. Now, as Kings fans, what you want to see is not only play, but you want to see play well and play as a team and win the right way.
Five other games tonight. Houston at Golden State a little bit later. Charlotte is playing in Chicago. The Bucks are hammering Detroit 79-48 in the third in Motown.
Lord.
The Hawks and the Heat are playing in Atlanta 45-41 late second. and Philadelphia out to a 13-3 lead over the Nets in Philadelphia.
No KD.
Well, you know, you don't have to worry about it because he's going to average at least 25 points a
game.
Damn
right. Mark it. Chalk it up, Napier.
Oh, I hope he can play a full season.
Listen, I didn't say anything about that, okay? Well, I said that he's
Well, what
score
I mean
a
full season,
points.
I mean at least 70 games. To me, for him, would be very good because I guarantee you they're going to rest him on some nights.
I'm telling you, chalk it up.
I'll
believe it. We're going to be doing the game. And I'm going to look at you, and you're going to look across from me. You're going to say, Christy, you're brilliant.
I'll believe that when I see it, my friend.
That's okay. I'm going to make you say I'm brilliant once in our lifetime. And I think we got to wait till next year. That's the point. I've set it up now.
Yeah.
Chris, you marked that down, right, Chris?
Chris got it marked down, and he's got the Jesse Jackson speech on the back end. So we're going to do a whole piece on it.
We're going to keep hope alive, and I'm going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
The brilliance of Doug Christie.
Yep.
Oh, I can't wait.
Do they have that motto up in Seattle for the Mariners, keep the hope alive? Or they know that that's common sense and that there's no chance of that.
I'm just asking. Why you want to mess with my team, man?
I'm asking.
Leave my team
alone.
That's
either a yes or a no.
You know, all my teams, they're suffering a little bit right now. That's okay.
Hey, you got Greg Olsen as your new tight end in Seattle. I like that pickup.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I like that a lot.
If he can deliver.
He's very good.
What was Greg's ankle?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He's good. I'm telling you, that guy's a warrior, and I think he will be a great fit with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russ needs a blankie, so we found a blankie.
That's what
you're telling me?
I tell you, I like him. I think he's
excellent. You know what? Offense isn't our problem, Napes, just in case you haven't been watching.
Just in case you didn't know, we haven't gotten into the beginning of free agency, and there are a lot of players that are out there. What the key is, are they going to have Jadeveon Clowney on their team or not?
I know. That is a big key. You know, the other thing I was watching, they said that there are, out of 260 draftees, there are at least 50 legitimate wide receivers this year that can be taken.
Yeah.
They said it hasn't happened.
Right. I've heard that.
Which makes a lot of top-end receivers suffer because you're like, hey, you know what?
Yep.
I can wait till the third round. I can wait till the fifth round and
now
get
you're
this.
Right.
Right? That's
I've
amazing, man.
All right, game night's coming up next. It's the Kings and the Grizz. So enjoy the game, everybody, and thanks for listening to Grant and Doug on Sports 1140 KHDK.